You're listening to the Sound Atlas.
Hey, I'm Captain Dean. Welcome back to another exciting episode recorded at Mellow Matt's Music and More. I'm looking around the room and it's stocked full of stuff. You need to come buy it all. Anyway, my guest is a well-known guitarist in the area, mostly known with bands 449, and is currently with Kiss Kiss Bang, Malcolm Warren.
What's up, man?
Welcome to the Sound
Dude,
Atlas.
I'm so excited, man. I've been wanting to do one of these for so long.
Today's your day, buddy.
I appreciate it.
You know what it is, and you know what it's all about.
Oh, yeah.
It is about local music scene, and you are definitely a part of that. And let's get started with the obvious question. Where are you from?
I am from Berksville, Kentucky.
Yes.
Berksville, yeah.
South of Glasgow.
Yes, yeah. Dale Hollow Lake, right on the Tennessee line. That's about it, man.
Very nice. And when did you get started in music?
I would have been about 15, and I grew up in a musical family. My dad and my grandpa, they played bluegrass music, you know, from the time I was born,
born. Yeah, it was around your house and everything.
Oh, yeah, man. There was always, you know, fiddles, mandolins, guitars, dobros, any kind of musical instrument that I could have wanted to play. My dad got me a guitar when I was 6. He got me an acoustic, and I was so excited to play it, and he showed me a G chord. And I strummed the strings, and it made a horrible noise. I put it in the case, and I never touched it again. True story. It was really weird. I always wonder why that was. But I picked it up again when I was 15. Started listening to a lot of heavy music. And just one day, man, I decided to take it out of the case, and I learned Smoke on the Water on right. one string, because I was like, I think everybody does
that. It's like
that.
No matter how old you are and what year it is, it seems like everybody learns the same songs
yeah.
that were written between like the 50s and the mm-hmm. 70s for
yeah.
some reason.
Oh, it was a
timeless
killer
classic.
It's a killer riff to get started on, like, because I mean, you know, it's simple and, you know, on one string, obviously.
Right.
And I remember I practiced all night on getting it right and what I felt like was in time. And then I took it, took the guitar up to show my dad, who can play. I was like, Dad, check this out. And then he grabbed it, and he played it the right way. And he's like, you need to practice more. And I was like, oh, man.
Well, you're just getting started.
Right.
I mean, it's like,
but it motivated me, yeah.
That discovery, I think, of figuring out a riff
yeah.
or a pattern of yeah. some sort and realizing that you just created music.
Yes, that was the thing.
I think that always just that little spark.
It was definitely a spark. As soon as I could make, you know, finger to string and, you know, pick to string action kind of thing,
right.
I was like, I just became obsessed. I was like, Dad, I need to go to the store and get this magazine. And honestly, pretty much been obsessed ever since.
Yeah,
yeah, it's kind of crazy.
So growing up, once you got into playing guitar and realizing you wanted to stick with it, what were you listening to? Who were your influences?
Man, I will say the first band that really made me want to play guitar was Pantera.
Mm.
And I hadn't really listened to them much growing up. I just kind of stumbled upon them on a show on VH1 Classic. It was 40 greatest metal songs.
Yeah, yeah.
And I started from the top, and I was familiar with most of the songs, and then it came to Cowboys from Hell, and, you know, it's got this scene, you know, they're in the basement in Dallas, and they're, you know, shooting the live video.
Yeah.
I was like, what is this?
Yeah.
And I remember going to my computer back when LimeWire was a thing, and I just went through and just downloaded every single Pantera song, regardless of what album, whatever.
Right.
And it was probably a week later when I really got into, you know, playing the guitar and Smoke on the Water. And
mm-hmm.
I still can't really play any Pantera songs, but I don't know. Just,
I still can't play Smoke on the Water.
I just know literally the riff, and it's in G, I think. But
it's cool. I've talked to a few people lately that have mentioned Dimebag being like an influence guitar-wise
yeah.
and stuff. I'm assuming you never got to see them.
No,
live.
Man, I didn't. The closest thing I can say to Pantera is I went to visit Dime's grave
yeah.
in Arlington.
Yeah.
Got to see that. Band I started in high school at 449. We had this little 2-week tour thing, and I remember we had a day off before we played in Fort Worth. I was like, guys, we gotta
yeah.
go to the cemetery.
You always have to find your idols
yeah.
if you're in the area.
Yeah, that was the closest thing, but I've scoured the internet for every live video I can find, so
yeah. That sucks, man. I think it was Frankie Foge that told me that Dime was a big influence. And if he'd ever saw him, he goes, no. By the time I'd started playing guitar, he'd already been shot.
Right, yeah, same.
I was like, oh my God, that's terrible. I think I saw Pantera 3 times.
Really?
I'm so proud. Like, when I talk to you guys that are younger than me, it's like, I got to see Alice in Chains.
Right.
I got to see Pantera.
I missed all those.
I'm very lucky.
that's cool, man. I'm jealous.
Well, I mean, the music obviously lives on. Sure. The albums and, you know, the videos, thank God. Yeah. They made a lot of videos.
Yeah, super big influence on me.
A lot of live videos, too.
Yes.
So you get to at least absorb a little bit
of
that.
Sure, totally.
Who else were you into?
I would say next, a very close second, would be Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Oh, yeah.
Honestly, Pantera and
what a diversity, though.
Sure, and you know, both from Texas. Yeah. You know, I think it's something
still
with the
quite
rhythm.
Diverse, yeah.
Yeah, it's the rhythm and the groove that I've always appreciated about both those guys. But yeah. as far as the biggest influence on my playing, Stevie Ray Vaughan would be the guy.
Right.
Just kind of the way I attack the strings and stuff. I've read everything I can find on him. You know, another guy that passed away before. You know, obviously I could see him.
That's right. Golly, I remember that tour
mm-hmm.
because it came through Nashville.
Oh, really?
And I was
even Starwood?
I wasn't really into that music, I was like, hey, you know, I knew who Robert Cray was. I
sure.
knew who Stevie was. And I was like, I wouldn't mind going to that.
Yeah.
And I couldn't go. I was too young. Right. I think I was probably 14 or 15,
I think,
when that happened. So
I think I had just been born. if I'm thinking right,
totally
it's 91.
Away, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, that I remember when I was a kid, you know, Stevie Ray Vaughan got actual MTV airtime. They would play
big deal.
Things like certain songs that had videos. They would actually play them in rotation. And so I remember him very well because he stood out, you know.
Oh, yeah. He had his own thing. Yeah.
The guitar, I always thought his guitar looked really cool.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And his brother, Jimmy,
yeah.
This is a crazy story. I was a huge fan of the
Fabulous Thunderbirds, yeah.
And growing up, D93 at mm-hmm. the time was D98, and my alarm would go off every morning for school, and it would be playing Tough Enough.
Oh, really?
It was like it was completely. It was such a Groundhog Day moment.
Yeah,
I would wake up every morning for school, and they would play Tough Enough, or they would play Living Color. What is that song called? You can
Cult
tear
of
a building down.
Okay, I'm not sure if
the
I know
slow
that.
One.
Okay,
anyway,
I don't know
I'm
that.
I'm terrible at song titles. But anyway, I would hear those two songs like all the time.
That's awesome. It's probably just drilled into your brain.
It
waking
is.
Up
and,
tough
and
enough.
I was in Mellow Mats Music and More not too long ago, and I found that record, Tough Enough, on record, and I bought it.
Got to.
So I had to have that.
That's cool.
So Dimebag Darrell and Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Yeah, I would. Those are my one and
those
two.
Those are your pedestals, huh?
Yeah,
that's
absolutely,
cool.
Absolutely.
That's cool though. That's a good diversity.
Yeah, I try to get the kind of attack that Stevie Ray had, and really just like drilling into the guitar,
mm-hmm.
almost kind of fighting with it, and really
the intensity
yes,
of Dimebag, and
yes,
the showmanship,
the groove.
Yeah.
Yes, that's
what's amazing to watch him is the amount of energy he had. But yet, never hit a wrong note.
Sure, yeah, he's flawless. I wish I could.
Absolutely
I wish I could do that.
That was just incredible to watch. And I think the first time I saw them was the Vulgar Display of Power tour. And
I was
my
so
God,
jealous.
Dude, I was just like, wow.
Oh, I bet it was flooring.
Wow.
Yeah.
And the next time I saw them was the Far Beyond Driven at Starwood, which is a much bigger venue, stage, and all that stuff. But still, like, he hadn't changed at all.
That's awesome.
They never changed, in
Man.
My opinion.
I would have given anything.
Stage presence.
Yeah.
They didn't get bigger lights and pyrotechnics. Like,
right.
things didn't seem to escalate
sure.
for them with the money. But anywho, anybody else fall under, like, 3, 4, 5 for you?
Man.
Kind of influenced by everything.
After that, it kind of depends on even what I'm listening to at the time.
Right.
I can always say those two are, you know, my
when
one and two.
You find influence in just about anything you pull up. Or,
totally. Yeah. Totally. If I hear something I think is cool and I really dig it, I'm going to try to steal it, if that makes sense, and kind of use it to my own. There's a new guy that I've really, really been digging on a lot lately, and I don't think he's necessarily reinventing the wheel of guitar, but he's somebody new that, like, he's really got his own thing. His name's Jared James Nichols. Man, he one pickup, P90, plays with his fingers, but man, he got that Stevie Ray thing where he really digs in, man. It's just, I don't know, that's always been me. I'm not really a fast guitar player. I don't really, you know a whole lot of really fast licks, but I don't know, if you see me play live, it's more, I try to be more melodic.
I did see you recently. It was about a month ago, I guess, was that show that we were at, and I got some really good pictures of you, by the way.
Oh, cool, man. Cool.
But yeah, you all three, before we jump ahead, obviously, sure. Kiss Kiss Bang is, Clayton covered this, is there are three guitars.
Mm-hmm.
And there's three guitars, but in different settings.
Sure.
Like, I know totally. You and Trevor are going through Helix,
mm-hmm.
but yet Clayton's going yep. through an amp.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives it that dimension of sound.
Yeah.
And so, but none of you really came out and said, I'm the lead guitar.
Right,
it's like
no.
all three of you kind of shared
yep.
the stage and played for the song.
Sure.
And so that immediately stood out to me. That's cool.
That's what we try to do, man. It's like, if it's all about serving the song, and I can honestly, when we're writing a song, I can honestly hear who's going to play the lead on mm-hmm. it before it gets to that spot.
Okay.
And there's no ego thing. I've never once been like, oh, I want to play. I should play it. Or,
right.
you know, it's like, or nobody else has done that. It's like, hey, dude, that's right up your alley. That's totally got your thing yeah. on it. And if it ends up being me, cool. If it ends up being Crowder and Trevor, you know, there's a couple songs I don't
that's
play
really
anything
cool.
but rhythm. And I'm cool with that.
I was really impressed with you guys on and off stage. And
thank you.
It was nice. It was a nice thing to witness. And it was cool to be a part of that. You
yeah,
know,
thank
we
you,
did
man.
That show for Tammy. And
yeah.
Tammy's a big
That was a really
fan.
Fun day. That was
it was
really
a fun,
fun
day, but it was also a sad day.
Sure. It was kind of a bittersweet thing.
It was sad that she couldn't have been there.
Right.
But luckily, she was able to see a lot of it and everything.
Oh, yeah.
But she was grateful for all of you to be there and perform. And what hell of a show.
Oh, yeah. It was fun.
You know, I think we need to do it again.
Definitely.
After she's... good
yeah
and that way she can be front row for all of it.
Definitely. Oh, it was fun. I just enjoyed not only obviously playing but going around and just talking to everybody.
Yeah
because you know sometimes you play a show, if it's two or three band bill, you kind of got your own stuff going on.
Right.
You're trying to, you know, that day felt very relaxed and it
right.
was like, you know, we're all coming together for the
well,
same cause
when
you, know?
You think of Tammy Wilson, you in this music scene, just diehard fan.
Yeah.
But to have you guys and Sixth Floor and, you know, Nine Horse Johnson
yeah.
and Gravel Switch on one stage, like, those are her people.
Right.
Those are the bands that she just couldn't believe, you know,
yeah.
took that opportunity yeah. to get together. And so, obviously, we need to do it again.
Yeah, oh, dude, definitely. It was so fun.
You and I are into the booking
oh, yeah.
things.
That's my
so
forte.
We know how that works.
Sure.
So. We're going to make that happen, aren't
hey,
we?
Hey, I'm down, man.
But anyway, back up a little bit. When you did get started, you got started on acoustic?
Yes, but
and
that
then
that
graduated
lasted...
to the electric?
Yes.
What were you playing in the early days?
So my first acoustic, and I still have it, it's at my mom's house sitting in the closet. It's
you
it's,
need to get that out and yeah. clean it up, hang it on the wall.
Yeah, it's... I kind of leave it there on purpose because I don't want nothing to happen to it. I mean, it's really, the thing's worth $50 maybe. It's worth a lot more to me, obviously,
right,
than,
a,
you know, sentimental.
Yeah.
But it was just a black Epiphone acoustic. Right after that, I got a, it was a Schecter electric.
Oh, yeah.
And to be quite honest, I do like Schecter gear.
It's like a metal guitar.
Oh, man. It was a piece of junk, to be quite honest. The input jack went out in about a week and never
Schecter
stayed in tune.
I think Schecter is the modern... BC Rich.
Yeah. Oh, I feel the same way. It's honestly the shape of it. I sold it to a kid I went to high school with. I don't even remember how much, but it was shaped just like Sinister Gates from Avenged Sevenfold. It's got the top cutaway, kind of curls
oh,
back.
Yeah, yeah.
Same shape. And I think that's where he kind of got his idea from that, or he played Schecter already. But
huh.
that was the first electric I had. And then I went to an Epiphone SG. I wish I still had that guitar. It played really well. And then,
was it the thick one or like
no
thin?
It was a thinner body
yeah.
it was a custom shop Epiphone. It had like the it looked like kind of like Angus Young had that lyre vibrola
yeah.
tailpiece.
Yeah,
it was, they only made it for a few years. It was black with gold hardware, and then right after that I got the Les Paul that I still play to this day.
Right. And before yeah. we started rolling,
yeah.
you and I got into this
yeah
and I was telling you complimenting your guitar. Oh, like, yeah. If I owned a Les Paul,
yeah,
it would be your Les Paul. Oh, or it would look like your Les Paul. Yeah. So you've been playing that Gibson Les Paul for a while.
Yeah, man, since I was 20 years old.
Do you have a backup on stage?
No.
You just have strings?
No, that's it, man. I change my strings before every show.
It's the perk of being in a band with three guitar players. Yeah. You don't really have to worry about breaking a string. You can take care of it.
Yeah,
all the others.
Yeah, man. I have people ask me, you know, or they've asked me before why I change my strings before every show. My strings will last maybe two shows. I have really acidic.
Sweaty.
Oh yeah. Man, it's bad. That's why my guitar, when I when I got it, it was Alpine white, like very bright white. And now, if you look at it close, it's kind of getting that creamy Randy Rhoads
not
thing.
Not just sun and playing and nicotine, but actually sweat stains from
pure sweat, man. I've snapped the headstock on it before. Not completely off, but it was dangling. And I took it to a good buddy of mine, and he took the clamps to it and some wood glue. And I don't care what anybody says. You can ask other people this that have Gibsons. It stays in tune better now.
Yeah.
It does. I can't explain why.
It's almost like you add concrete.
Yes, kind of.
I have seen Les Paul necks in pieces.
Yeah.
I mean, match sticks, you know, like just splintered. And I've seen them fully repaired.
Yeah.
I mean, I think one of the best stories in music history is that Bill Monroe's mandolin was smashed.
Yeah.
And completely repaired.
Completely repaired.
And the one you see at the Country Music Hall of Fame, Bill Monroe's actual mandolin was smashed in pieces and fixed and repaired.
It's
at
wood.
Gibson. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it is in perfect condition.
Yeah. That's the thing with mine is like I remember when it happened. It actually happened down here at Dublin's. I was playing just playing a cover set. Me and Trevor and I think our buddy Frankie Copas was playing that night, and Trevor was playing the guitar, and we sound checked, and he set it up on a stand, and I was at the bar getting a drink. There was really nobody there, and I don't even know if anybody was standing even in the bar but me and the bartender. And all of a sudden I hear this noise, kaboom, and I'm like, it's...
And that being a little shotgun room.
Yeah.
A little
boom. Oh, it was loud. It was loud. And I walked up to the stage, and my guitar was laying there.
Oh,
and
no.
And I don't know why, but I kept walking outside, and I just left it laying there. I know that sounds silly, but I've dropped it a blue million times.
Yeah, you were in disbelief.
Right, and Trevor came in. He's like, dude, you're going to be so mad. Oh, my God, I don't know what happened. It fell off the stand. I don't know. And he picked it up, and the headstock was dangling. I was like, he was freaking out, and I'm not. I'm like, it's cool, man. It's wood. It goes back together. I swear it will. And in about a month, it was fine, man. I put a new nut on it, and it stays in tune. Sounds better than it ever has.
That's
honestly.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah. Yeah. It works great. Yes. Thankfully, that's all I got.
Well, that covers that. Let's go back to the awesome stories of how you got into playing in bands. Like,
sure.
When did you discover that you're good enough to get into a band, and what band was that?
That band would have been 449.
So your first band was an actual
active
working band.
Yes. It didn't start out that way. The way it got started was me and my cousins, named Jordan Henson. We're both from Berksville, and we started that band my senior year of high school.
What year was that?
This would have been November of 2008.
Okay.
Yeah, I graduated in 2009, but I remember I had been playing guitar at that point, you know, for a couple years or so, but it was just me and my cousin sitting around playing covers and just jamming in our house, not really no direction, anything.
Just learning.
Yeah, kind of getting our chops up and knowing our instrument. I went to a concert. If I'm not mistaken, it was my first rock concert ever. It was Blackstone Cherry at the Convention Center in Cave City. It was their vocal...
With themselves, or
it was,
when they opened for the Headhunters?
No, it was them. It was their Folklore and Superstition CD
Second
release show.
Tour, yeah.
Yep. The opener was Casting Shadows, which became Willow Shade, who Corbin is in our band now.
Yep.
And... second on the bill was Chasing Lane.
Nice.
And then Blackstone Cherry. And I watched the show, and I've been playing guitar a couple of years, and I'd never even thought about writing a song or anything. I lived in this little bubble in Berksville.
Right.
And I went back to school the next week, and I was like, dude, I don't know what we're doing with this cover stuff, but we're going to start writing music,
right.
man. Like, we got to, you know, I was really inspired.
That's good.
Not only Blackstone Cherry, but I knew.
Well, yeah, you got the Dazzler.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, you got Chasing Lamb.
Oh, you couldn't have told me those guys weren't massive rock stars, man. Kevin comes out with an SG, and he's you know, he's killing it.
Kevin should have a statue erected somewhere, dude. Because
he influenced me, man. He inspired me.
Inspired a lot of people. Yeah. You go back and listen to a lot of these podcasts. Mm-hmm. Not only the name Chasing Lane is brought up, but I'm pretty sure a lot of people have brought up Kevin's name. So.
Oh, yeah, man. I remember seeing them and you know, Corbin's first group. And, and I was just like, man.
And Corbin was John Fred's drum tech.
Yeah.
Was that around the same time?
That was quite a bit after. Yeah. I think Will Shade had already kind of disbanded.
So he went on the road with them when he was in between bands.
Yes. Yeah, I think he was on the road with them on their first headlining arena tour in the UK, if I'm not mistaken.
Right, Devil in Deep Blue Sea, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, I believe. Oh, sorry.
Hit the table. Oh, my God.
I ruined it.
The podcast is over now.
But yeah, I just remember seeing that show and being like, all right, I gotta do something else. Right. Some of these covers, you know, nothing wrong with covers. Like, I just want to do that. And
well, the role of learning covers, in my opinion, is to get you to the, like you said, inspired enough to be like, I'm gonna write my own song, and not necessarily copy anything,
right?
But you learn the same chords, but then you find a way to create
your own little
voice
thing
and your own sound with them.
Yeah,
you know?
The way the band got started, our ag teacher came up one day and he's like, hey guys, I know y'all play music, y'all want to enter this talent show we got going on for Farm Bureau? And I was like, yeah, like, what do we need to do? And he's like, just play a song in front of these people, and then if you win, you get to go to this regional thing, and if you win there, you get to go to Louisville and play at the Galt House.
It's like a graduating winning.
Yeah, I was like, this is cool. So the local one in Burksville, we didn't have anybody else against us. It was just us, so we won by default. We played we played Melissa by the Allman Brothers.
Nice.
Because we thought the older crowd would like that.
Right.
And we really liked that song.
That's actually a good song. It's got moments of like peaks and valleys.
Right. I learned some of those real dreamy kind of reverby lead licks. I was like, this
quiet,
is cool.
Little, neat. You know,
right,
musical parts, and then it's got some parts that really jam and walk in. You know?
And the thing, though, is we didn't have a drummer. It was just me and my cousin and our buddy, who was the same age, playing bass.
Okay.
So we won the local thing. The next thing was in Somerset. They're like, I was like, can we get a drummer for this and like kind of jazz it up? And they're like, sure. So we did, a guy in high school, and we learned Flirting with Disaster, Molly Hatchet. And we won the regional, and there was like, you know, 50 people there. We went to Louisville for the exhibition. There was 1,000 people
right.
in this room in the Galt House, and we were scared to death. And then I was like, okay, it was an exhibition at that point. I was like, talent show's over. Let's start booking shows. First show was at a place called The Vault in Jamestown, Kentucky.
Okay, so go back real quick.
Okay.
Who was in the band?
Okay, that would be in... I played guitar.
This is the first...
First incarnation.
Now, was it called 449 in the beginning? Okay.
Yes. I actually came up with that band name because we were trying to figure out a band name. Our bass player, his name is Dakota Vincent. He lived out on Highway 449.
Okay.
But this night that we were practicing and trying to come up with a band name, he didn't make it. I think he fell asleep, something. Yeah. Yeah, you know, something. Whatever. And
sounds like a bass player.
Yeah. So
leave him in the van.
Yeah. He didn't make it, and I was like, what are we gonna name the band? And we thought it'd be cool to name it something about our hometown. And
right. And sometimes hometown names work really well.
Right.
I mean, like, think of like Temple Hill. And,
sure. Yeah.
You know, those are
now cool see that names. One's cool. I'm gonna be honest with you, and I even came up with the name. It's not a great name. It's just numbers. You know, it was cool for a bunch of young
kids.
Well,
it's numbers, but it's got representation of something in your area and your home turf, so to speak. So it's cool.
And we, the thing about our bass player not being there was, I was like, what about 449? I was like, Dakota can't argue that one. He lives on the highway and he ain't here, so that'll stick with him. And it did stick. And that band was together like 6 years or so, man.
Yeah.
But that was the first incarnation of that. And we played all around this area. You know, my cousin Jordan sang for a while, but he didn't really want to sing. He just wanted to play guitar, you know. Mm-hmm. And
did we cover the basis of who it was?
Yes.
Okay,
yeah.
It was you on guitar.
Yes, me on guitar. Jordan Henson on guitar and vocals.
Okay.
And Dakota Vincent on bass.
I got Dakota. I've
yes.
Heard, yeah.
And the drummer, the very first drummer of the band, his name's Josh Howard.
Okay, good.
Yes, Josh Howard.
I think I missed that one.
Yes. We had...
Because when you're at Mellow Mats, you're staring at all of the walls.
Right.
And all of the posters and
right. stuff. You get sidetracked.
What are we talking about? I don't pay attention to everybody I interview.
But yeah, that band was together quite a while, and there was a few different members came through. Mm-hmm. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know if I can necessarily remember all of the drummers that might have came through, because right. there was a few. It was just local guys that right. were buddies, you know. And
but just kind of touch and go.
Yeah,
for a bit.
Sure. I think we had another vocalist who actually was referred to us by our buddies in Chase and Lane. His name was Matt Bartley, who sang for us for a while.
Okay.
And not a lot of people know this stuff, man, because this was like, you know, there was MySpace going on, and then right. Facebook was kind of starting to do its thing, but, you know.
Well, even in the early days of MySpace, it was a weird thing to be advertising online. We were the generation that made flyers and
sure.
hit the telephone pole, yeah. you know, and all of a sudden you can do it without leaving the
yeah,
house.
There's your flyer all over the
but
world.
You have to have a lot of friends.
Right. But, yeah, I think, if I'm not mistaken, once Matt started singing, that's how I kind of got connected with the guys in Chase and Lane.
Okay.
And this will touch on, obviously, my first show in Bowling Green, but they had us open for them at Tidballs in, I think it was 2008 or 2009, somewhere in there.
So not too long after the band.
Yeah, it would have been 2009. It would have been 2009. And, yeah, man, you could still smoke in the bars. You could still smoke at Tidballs, at least,
yep.
because I'd never really been too far out of Berksville and surrounding counties. You know, right. we were playing shows at, like, little fairs and stuff like that.
Yeah, that was nothing new
yeah.
to you guys.
Yeah, you know.
They still smoke in those clubs.
Right, dude, I was like, whoa, man, this is crazy. It was my first show in a bar ever, you know, and I had to go in. I was, you know, 19, somewhere
you
in there.
You can perform, but you can't hang out.
Yeah, man. I had to walk in and play. And then I was out of there, man. But
it's
I was
not
like,
a bad way.
I was like, dude, this is so cool, though, man. I got to do this forever.
Well, I've always thought that as a local musician, especially once, to me, Tidballs replaced what Mr. C's and Baker Street was.
Sure. See, that's so, a little before
a
my
lot
time.
Of people
but...
will remember it as Baker Street, but mm-hmm. I remember it as Mr. C's and 13th Street. And then you had Picasso's and all these other
yeah,
things.
Yeah, I've heard
and
of
those
these places.
Those kind of came, well, those went away. Tidballs opened in 2001,
mm-hmm.
and I got to be like one of the first people to play there, and that's cool.
That's awesome.
So to me, that's our CBGB.
Yes, absolutely.
But when I walk in Hilligan's now, I'm like, oh my God.
Right.
This was
that's
the
so funny.
I was 16 mm-hmm. playing at that place,
yeah.
you know, and that was a, so I always walk back to where the stage was. And
right.
remember the good old
yeah.
days. But Tidballs to me has stood the test of time.
Absolutely.
Like, a lot of clubs have come and gone, and Tidballs is, in my opinion,
it's the mecca
venue.
Yeah, if you say
it's
you're
like
a musician,
dive bar,
oh, totally.
You know, clubs. You know, obviously we've got really nice places.
Yeah,
we got Spillway.
Yeah,
and we've got
even
shows
the Capitol,
at Phoenix, and
yeah.
the Capitol, yeah. and all that stuff. There's a lot of good stuff out there.
Oh yeah.
But your first show in Bowling Green was at Tidballs.
At Tidballs,
what a
man.
Nice.
Yeah.
Thing to have.
Yep. That was my first show in Bowling Green, and I thought it was like the craziest thing, because there was a lot of people in there,
yeah.
man, and I was just like, just blown away. Like, I was like, so this is what it's like to actually play a show.
Be
yeah,
a rock and roll.
Yeah, and you know, this is on a Friday or Saturday night,
yeah.
I don't remember. I don't think I was necessarily in high school at the time. I think I was like a freshman in college, but I just remember going back and being in a classroom, and being like, man, this sucks. I don't
yeah.
want to do this.
Yep.
And I was honestly a college dropout pretty soon after that, within a year. But I don't know, man. It was something about, I just remember that night very vividly.
Right.
It being at Tidballs and walking in, and it was just like this mysterious place to me, you know.
You got bitten.
Yeah. I mean, I was actually just there last night shooting pool and listening to bands yep. play. So I frequent the place a lot. It's one of my favorite places to go. But that was my first show in a bar and my first show in Bowling Green.
Not a bad place
start.
To be.
Yeah.
So band gets rolling.
Yep.
449's making some waves. Did you play mostly around South Central Kentucky, or did you kind of venture out a little bit?
Yeah, we ventured out some, man. I just had this kind of mentality. I did all the booking in the band, and I was just like, well, we got to go do it. I didn't really know what I was doing at the time. We didn't make any money or anything like
hard.
That. Yeah, it's not.
You just have to have good people skills.
Yes. Yes, a lot of emails and a lot of patience. A lot of patience. I struggle with the patience. I'm not a very patient person.
Well, they struggle with returning phone calls.
So oh my God.
It's a win-win.
Yes. Yeah, we ventured out some, man. I would say I booked a 2-week tour. This was kind of towards the end of 449, but we really want to do it just for the experience of it. Like getting out on the road and being like, what's it like
That's
being gone for a couple
of
weeks?
Who's legit? Yeah. Who's dedicated?
Absolutely.
And obviously you discovered who is.
Yeah. Oh, it was
no
a ball
to the other guy.
Oh no, it was a good time, man. I'm trying to think. We hit Nashville on that one. The first show was at Spillway. That kind of kicked it off. We played in Fort Worth, Texas, played the show in Louisiana, couple in Georgia, North Carolina, went all the way up to Virginia. We were out for 2 weeks. I think we did like 4 shows 1 week and 3 the other week. Mm-hmm. It was fun, man.
That's regional touring.
Yeah.
I mean, it's actually
great.
Not hard to do when you live here.
Yeah. We're very centrally located, honestly.
I mean, the only way to be really, truly central location and touring band is if you lived in like Oklahoma City.
Sure.
Because you literally
centrally
in the center
in America,
of
yes.
the country.
Yeah.
But to be in the Nashville area.
Mm-hmm.
If you draw a circle around Nashville alone,
yeah,
it's like you can hit all these places, yeah. and they're all day trips.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know? It's not hard.
Yeah.
You can leave here and be in Orlando in 13 hours. You can leave here and be in Chicago in 9.
Sure. I mean,
it's not hard to do like a, I guess like I've always referred to it, regional touring from here would be on the east side of the Mississippi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and yeah,
it's easy
absolutely.
To do. You can cross into St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
But aside from that, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to think, man. I've forgotten a lot of those shows, you know. Several of them, you know, the majority of them were in Kentucky.
I'm not good at geography.
What was it?
I was thinking Chicago's on the other side of the Mississippi.
Ah, it's over there somewhere, man. Just pull out a map.
North up there, it's a little tiny creek.
Yeah, that's it.
If you go far north of Minnesota, you can actually walk across the Mississippi River.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's real small. It's short.
Yeah. Well, I actually grew up on the, speaking of rivers, I grew up on the Cumberland River.
Yeah.
And it was actually in my backyard.
That's cool.
And I know this will really sound dumb, but I remember
you're talking to me. It's a podcast.
The 2010 flood in Nashville.
Yeah.
That was the Cumberland River.
Yes, it is.
And I'm at a high school at this time, and this is really dumb, but I was like, why is Nashville getting flooded by the Cumberland River?
Because the Wolf Creek.
I was like, oh, man, that's actually... It's the same river. It goes down. I'm an idiot. But, yeah. It was in my backyard, man.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Water's good.
Yeah, water's good.
So, 449
mm-hmm.
lasts for how long?
I would say 6 years or
Not
so,
bad.
Something like that, yeah.
First band lasted
yeah.
6 years and yeah. went on tour.
Yeah, we had
That's pretty awesome.
It was cool, man. We were rock stars in an RV.
So, at the end of it, who was in the band at the end?
At the end of it was myself, Trevor, who's in Kiss Kiss Bang with us.
Trevor Smith.
Yeah. Trevor Smith.
Was he just the lead vocalist or did he play guitar?
Just
too?
Lead vocalist.
Okay.
Just lead vocalist. Solely a vocalist. My cousin Jordan Henson was still in the band.
Okay.
We started that band in high school and he was there from beginning to end.
Good.
And
family.
Yes. Bass player Dakota Vincent, beginning to end. And our drummer at the end of that was a guy named Justin Bush.
Oh.
He is from Louisville. And, man, I got to say, hats off to him because he drove like a 5-hour round trip weekly for band practice, not counting wherever else in the world we went.
I tell you all the time, it's easy to do when you're under 35.
It really
is.
Yeah, man.
I've done it. I've driven to Nashville. I've driven to Louisville. For band practice.
Right.
No money, no
yeah,
nothing.
Yeah, all the same, man. We weren't making a dime back then, man. It was all for the love and the fun of it. As that kind of ended, though, you know, it ended on great terms.
Good.
My cousin Jordan was finishing up, I believe he's got a master's degree now, but he was finishing up college. Our drummer at the time, he was starting a family. And, you know, we enjoyed playing music with each other, and we still stay in touch regular basis.
But just growing up.
Sure, yeah.
Aging, things change, music tastes change, you know.
Sure.
The typical story.
Yeah. And
so what happens after 449 kind of ended?
Okay. I was living in Tompkinsville, And I was working at a sawmill over there, and Trevor was actually living in Indianapolis with Chelsea, yeah. And he was working at Guitar Center up there, and man, this is only about a 3-4 month span, I would say, from the time 449 played their last show.
Okay.
And I was working, Trevor was doing his thing, and I was like, man, I want to keep playing music with you, man. We got to keep doing this thing because me and you got this kind of special thing together, dude. We write music well together, and it's always a good time, and I think we're talented. And I just remember one day I was like, I'm not working at the sawmill forever. I'm not going to be able to live in T-ville forever.
Right.
Love T-ville, but it's just not, you know, not somewhere I wanted to live forever. And I think it was Trevor's idea, dude. He was like, man, let's move to Bowling Green. And let's start a rock band, man. Like, really do it, man. Like, really go for it. Like, we've learned a lot over the last few years, and we were just talking back and forth on the phone. And I remember I went and gave a 2 weeks notice my job, and I actually flew to Los Angeles to visit a buddy, and then we drove all the way across the country.
That's
but I
cool.
flew one way.
Yeah.
Me and my buddy from LA, who was from this area, we moved into this house. Trevor moved down a month later. And we started playing acoustic shows and cover gigs to make money and try to pay our rent. And then,
under what name, though?
That just band, like, that was a band. It was called the Fat Maggies.
Okay.
And I was playing bass. Trevor was playing guitar and singing. And our buddy, Frankie Copas, who's from Tompkinsville. Uh-huh. I think he lives in Louisville. Yeah, he lives in Louisville now. He was the drummer for it. And, man, we played a lot of shows, like, just here at the clubs here in Bowling Green. Like, there would be nights where we'd play two shows in one night. And we made decent money, you know, buying groceries, paying
certain,
the bills. Yeah,
you know, certain places pay out.
Yeah, know. Yeah, it was a good time. And then
you can mix up half covers, half originals.
Yeah, and, you know, yeah, we started writing originals.
As long as you play that Mustang Sally.
Oh, enough. Got to. No, we didn't play Mustang Sally. I've never done
what?
It.
What?
And I'm not
really?
Going to. No.
No.
No way. No way.
What, okay, Brown Eyed Girl then.
Never.
Oh, my God.
Can't play a lick of
Get
it.
Out.
Hey, I love that song. Van Morrison's awesome, but.
Yeah, you'd hate it if you had to play it every weekend.
Oh, I would imagine. But
so how long did that run?
That lasted about, I would say, 3 to 4 months.
No.
Something somewhere in that.
But it was the beginnings.
Yes.
Of what became
Kiss Kiss Bang.
Kiss Kiss Bang.
Yes.
Now, tell me if I'm crazy or not.
Okay.
Coming into this, I didn't have much to ponder over because I've known you for a while.
Yeah.
But I didn't know a lot of details of some of the things you've said. Was it originally called Kiss Kiss Bang Bang?
No, it wasn't actually.
Okay,
it
was that just some stupid shit people were posting on Facebook?
It was just a mistake. It was like
a mistake.
They just the movie, I guess.
But you know what I'm talking about?
Yes,
because I actually saw it.
Mm-hmm.
At times, it would say both words.
Yes,
twice.
Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. Yes, it's a movie. I've honestly never seen the movie.
Okay,
I heard it's a good movie. I haven't seen it.
I'm sure it's great.
Maybe
probably won 3 Oscars.
Maybe I'm just being stubborn. You
could
know,
have won
not
an
watching
MTV Popcorn Award.
Sure, there you go. That's great.
That's what MTV is for now.
The way where that band name came from, I actually came up with it. I was still living in Tompkinsville at the time. This is before the band had started, before me and Trevor had even spoke about starting another band.
Mm-hmm.
I was on a smoke break one day, and I was listening to this song. So there's this country group called the Cadillac 3.
Yes.
I know the Josephines have toured with them.
They're
big buddies, those
too.
Guys. So before Cadillac 3, they were called the Cadillac Black.
Yes.
And 449 actually played a show with them in Nashville. It was us, the Cadillac Black, and Blackstone Cherry.
That's cool.
So to find out, I was like, well, who's this Cadillac Black band we're playing with? I looked them up, and I found that they were in a band previously called American Bang. And I was like, oh, that's cool. And it was a rock band.
Yeah, the
and
word bang is always
yeah, there. It just kind of
so
gets you.
So many good meanings.
Yeah, many good meanings. Many, a plethora. So yeah.
Powerful word.
Oh, definitely. I looked it up, and I was like, American Bang. And they had this B-side on the only record they ever released on like a label. And the bonus track was called Kiss Kiss Bang. And I thought that was just a neat.
So it actually came from
yeah,
a song.
Came from a song, man. It was a bonus track. You can find it on Spotify.
From
the song.
A band name that no longer is used.
Yep.
They probably don't even play the song anymore.
Yeah. No. No. They. I don't know that they might have played the song live a few times. I'm sure they did. But it
yeah,
was.
Yeah, but not today.
No. No. Not at all.
They put all that material.
Yeah.
Behind it.
Yeah. It was just. It was a bonus track, man.
That's
I listened
cool.
to it, and I was like, this is a killer jam. And then I got to jam, and you know, just listen to it on a regular basis, like. That would be a cool band name. Yeah. Kiss Kiss Band. It just sounds like rock and roll to me. And that was kind of when me and Trevor, you know, got the idea to start a band. I was like, we're going to call it Kiss Kiss Bang. He's like, oh, that's cool. That's cool, man. That's I like that. Yeah, that's where that name came from.
I think it's hard to put Kiss on any band.
Yeah.
Without, of course, thinking of Kiss in general. But my growing up, your names were funny to me because of Kiss in one thing,
sure,
and then Bang.
Right.
I would always associate Bang with, I think it's Bang Tango.
Bango Tango.
Bango Tango.
Bango Tango, and yeah.
So I was like, Kiss Kiss Bango Tango.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man, we've been called all kinds of stuff by people.
One thing you all did pretty early on, though, which I applauded from way back, because I wasn't even at the show, but I saw the pictures,
mm-hmm,
and I was so proud because it was something I've always wanted to do. You all play the show in Kiss makeup.
Oh yeah, I was gonna tell you.
And I was
yeah,
like, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was a Halloween show at
Dublin's.
But to be
the
Dublin's
band,
yeah,
Kiss Kiss Bang playing in Kiss makeup,
you got to.
You took full advantage.
Yeah,
of that.
That was a good time. That was we had this Halloween show booked at Dublin's, and you know, we were the band for the night, and you know, we were like, what are we gonna dress up as? What are we gonna do?
Yeah.
And Trevor's like, you know exactly what we're doing.
Yeah,
we're gonna be
we
Kiss.
Have to
and
do
he
that.
He did all the makeup himself, Trevor
it was
did,
very
including
well done.
His own.
I saw the photos.
Oh, he
it
killed
was
it.
Good.
It
was
oh, it was
good.
It was great. And we got so many compliments on that. I remember making the Facebook post. I said, most of you know us as Kiss Kiss Bang, but tonight we're
Kiss.
Yeah. And you know what? We didn't even play a single Kiss song.
Of course not.
Yeah, you can't. I don't know. Maybe you should. I don't know. We never did.
I would say no.
Yeah.
I think just...
it'd be a little too much.
Halloween and then the makeup, but
yeah,
being a rock band,
yeah,
you still be yourself.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, it was a good time.
So, when the band got rolling, the name came pretty quick. You didn't
mm-hmm
go through a big list of name changes and all that
yeah
stuff. Who was in the band in the beginning?
It was myself on guitar, Trevor on guitar as well, and vocals, Andrew Hopper.
So Andrew was there.
Yep,
the
original
beginning?
Bass player, okay, and Corbin Burke on drums. Man.
Okay,
it's been
so
the original lineup since
the original
day one.
Lineup
yep
is still intact.
Mm-hmm.
You guys hit the ground running hard, like you
yeah
said. You really came here dedicated with a vision,
totally,
and made it come to life.
Yeah.
Obviously, that wasn't too long ago.
Yeah, 2015.
Yeah,
very end of 2015
so
when we got
4
here
years ago, and
yep
you've come quite a ways in four
yeah
years.
Yeah, it's been
I just
it's
literally
been a good time
said this to Clayton the other day. You've
mm-hmm
done a lot in 4 years.
Yeah.
But you
yeah
guys really have. And obviously, Clayton Cameron is in the band
mm-hmm
now. Or Crowder.
Clayton
I always
Crowder
say Cameron for some reason. Clayton Crowder is in the band. And he was not originally
right
in the band.
Yeah.
But you're going to have to tune in to his podcast
yes
to hear that story.
Yes, of course.
Anyway,
I'll leave that
of,
one for
as
that.
As of today, it is Trevor, Andrew, and Corbin,
yep,
and you,
mm-hmm,
and Clayton.
Yep, that's
so it's
it,
now
man
a five-piece band.
Yep.
But originally, it was a four-piece
band. It was
band
a four-piece, yep.
We did have the discussion, or at least I had the discussion with Clayton, about you did have a moment where it kind of ended.
Yeah.
But you didn't necessarily break up.
Yeah.
So what
we took
happened
a break
during that time? Obviously, you really, like I said, you hit the ground running pretty
mm-hmm
hard. You were really active.
Sure.
You were playing a lot of shows.
Yeah.
And I mean big and small.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Trevor was doing a lot of like solo stuff.
Yeah.
So
yeah
that didn't end. And
mm-hmm
and of course, again, Clayton tells his side of the story on
yeah
all that. But you guys came out. The name was a big thing. You did have a CD release
mm-hmm
at some point.
Yeah.
I came to see you at the Spillway show.
Okay.
Now, I've always wanted to tell you the story I've never told you.
Okay.
I pulled in the parking lot.
Yeah.
And literally got stuck because I couldn't park.
Really?
And I couldn't get out because
oh
there was
wow
cars behind me.
Really?
Trying to find a parking spot.
Wow.
I didn't even get it into the door.
Oh, wow.
So, congratulations.
Oh, thank
on
you,
that
man. That makes me... I hate you didn't get to
house
make it, but yes, it was a packed house.
It was a packed house, and, yeah, and I obviously saw the social media post later
true
that night that you all had a really good night.
Yeah.
So you released an independent EP or CD?
It was a CD. It was a full length.
Full length.
10 or 12 songs. I,
okay,
I
that's
think
what I thought.
Something like that.
I never got a copy, by the way.
Yeah, not many people did. We did a 100. We did 100 copies, man, and that was
wow
all that
that's
made.
It?
That was it.
That's awesome.
That was it. We did
that's smart,
copies
actually. I
yeah
think if you guys succeed Yeah. Somebody's going to sell that shit on eBay.
They're floating around in there. We almost, okay, at first it was like, okay, we'll do 100 and we'll see how it goes.
No, that's good.
And they sold well. And then I was like, we were writing all this new material. And some of that stuff, even on that first album, was like, you know, old stuff for us. You know, it was just our first, like, we're getting this out there.
Yeah, getting the feet wet.
Yeah.
Thing. Like, what do we have? Let's get this rolling.
Let's get it out there.
Take what you got and run.
Yep.
That's exactly what you did. But the band did stall.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked to you around this time.
Yep.
I caught wind that Corbin had either left or he had
Corbin
a
and Trevor,
schedule.
Actually.
Oh, they did?
Corbin and Trevor,
okay,
actually,
so
yes.
I was wrong about that.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and tell the story because it's not
because I sent you a message one day. I was like, hey, if you need a drummer,
yeah,
I'm right here.
Yeah, and I feel like I might have been the
rock and roll.
I might have been an asshole because I was honestly...
No, you weren't.
I was really sore, you know? And I'm not anymore, you know? That was years ago. But, you know, Corbin and Trevor had this job opportunity that was gonna you know, pay really good money.
So it was about work.
Yeah, it was about work. And I was like, well, screw you guys, I'm moving to Los Angeles. Ooh. And I flew out there, and I had some friends, you know, out there still to this day. A buddy of mine from Japan, actually, is a great guitar player. We went around North Hollywood. We were looking for a place to live. It was way too expensive, so I came back home. And I was like, well, I got to save up some money and move out there. You know, screw these guys. And then...
You got sucked back into the Bowling Green bubble.
Yeah, it was 2 months.
You can't move.
No,
you can't leave.
This is home to
me. You can't go back to Burstville from here.
No, not at all. I think it was honestly, man, like... It's maybe only like 2 or 3 months.
Right,
really.
It was short.
It seemed like an eternity.
Of course.
Because I was like, what am I going to do? I'm not
going to
play music.
Well, because you really had a lot happening.
Yeah.
And you all really, you know, a lot of bands around here struggle to get a name and get an audience. You all pretty much had it like right there. It was almost...
Very fortunate.
It wasn't, you know, obviously, it was earned.
Yeah.
You know, you all, your friends and your fan base, like the music got out.
Mm-hmm.
The local guys were playing it. Tommy and Bratcher both were really plugging the shows.
Thank you guys.
And the bands and everything. So you guys really earned what you had.
Sure.
And then it came to a halt.
Yeah.
And
I was like, what the hell, guys?
Yeah. So all of that happened, but obviously it didn't last for
too long.
But like you said, that would feel like an eternity.
Yeah, it did. I was like, well, I thought this was going to be the band that I was going to play in for, you know, foreseeable future. And then, you know, I get a couple phone calls, and they're like, oh, this job sucks. We're not making what we thought.
Playing music's much better.
Screw this stuff, man. We're going to have to travel real far away. We ain't doing this. And they're like, let's just get back together and just keep doing what we were doing. And
I remember the social media post that was made.
Yeah.
It was like a picture, or someone took a video without... It was just some sound in the background of a blank wall.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
We're back to the kitchen here.
I had so many messages like, it's like, man, you guys had a lot of potential, a lot of promise, what's going on. Yeah. And, you know, honestly, it kind of sucked. I didn't really even reply to a lot of people. I was just like, I don't know, whatever. Yeah. I'm going to do my own thing.
Just focused on it.
Yeah, but then as soon as everybody came back into the fold, I was like, okay, guys, now we're making some damn sense here.
So did you all sit down and say, look, we have this thing.
Mm-hmm.
We have a connection. We have the talent. We have everything we need.
Yeah.
Who's in and who's out?
Totally.
And the four of you all
absolutely
put your hands in and said, "We're in this for it."
We pricked our fingers and shook hands.
Oh,
I'm kidding.
Did you make a comic book?
No, I'm kidding. No. We absolutely did that.
Good.
And we sat down and we're like, "Look, guys, put the BS aside. Like, you're not doing anything the rest of your life besides playing music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is what we're all good at.
Right.
And, you know, we're the guys that came from our previous bands that are still wanting to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And we know we have the talent to play together and write cool stuff. So, like, let's just quit screwing around. Like, let's really do it.
You can
really
say fuck on you.
Let's quit fucking
around.
Oh, I've been wanting to say that word so bad. No. Yeah, pretty much. Let's quit fucking.
Here
we go. I'm potty mouth. But yeah, it was seriously like, hey, let's quit fucking around and let's really do this. Like,
and you did. Yeah. And once again, it's like it didn't take long because obviously you didn't have a new member come in and have to start over again.
Right.
But you did add a member,
and that
would be Clayton Crowder.
That is correct.
Came into the picture. Obviously, in his episode of the Sound Atlas, he explains his role in that. But the way he put it to me was, you're all Foo Fighter fans.
Absolutely.
And a big fan of the addition of when Pat Smear came back.
yes.
of having three guitars.
Yes.
So you've got Pat, Chris, and Dave.
Yep.
And you guys, being fans of that, kind of captured that sound in yes. your way, too, by adding him. And you're adding not only his guitar playing, you're adding
but
his
a beautiful
vocal ability,
singer. Yes.
his songwriting yes. ability. So it went from a four-piece to a five,
mm-hmm.
but not standard five-piece,
right.
three guitars.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
And again, I got to see you recently at mm-hmm. the Spillway, full throttle,
yeah.
full stage, live, everything.
Yeah.
It was loud.
Yeah,
and it was
it is
good.
Loud. Thank you.
And it was awesome.
Yeah.
So when did Clayton enter the picture after the resurgence, so to speak?
So we had been playing
is that the
together.
Right word?
Yeah, that is that sounds like a hell of a word to
How
use.
How about the rise?
Yes. The resurgence, that's the word. I don't know. That's what I would have said. No, that came about God, man, dates and stuff evade
but it wasn't
me
long.
It wasn't long. It was within a year of us getting
okay.
back together and doing
That's what
anything.
I thought.
I'll tell you when it was. The band kind of took a break, very short, and then through the rest of the year, I guess it would have been 2017, I think, we started finishing up the first album. We had the CD release show, the one you were talking about. Mm-hmm. That would have been May of whatever year, 2017.
That was 17.
2017,
yeah.
yeah. So it's 16 into 17. And we had that CD release. So we played the rest of 2017 with just the four piece. And then it was actually brought to the table by Corbin. It was Corbin's idea. Now, Crowder had been, I've known Crowder since back in 449 days, mm-hmm. Undead Anna and things like that. And it was just like, Corbin sat down one night. He's like, I got to talk to y'all about something. I'm like, well, shit, dude, are you going to quit the band or something? Like, what's going on? And I'm thinking it's going to be this big, you know, massive thing. He's like, and I don't even know if we even asked Crowder anything about this at the time, but he was like, man, you know, what do you think about adding him to the band? He's a killer musician, songwriter. And everybody kind of looked around and was like, okay, why not, you know? And we made the announcement, at, I think it was like January 1st of 2018. And his first show with us, if I'm not mistaken, was in Columbia, Missouri with Blackstone Cherry. We were direct support, and it was a sold out theater, man. The Blue Note, killer venue. And
that's a terrible way of yeah. introducing somebody.
Yeah, I was like, dude, I was like, not every show is going to be like this, okay? But this is a good one.
We'll still play in front of five people.
Yeah, No, that's pretty much how that got going, man. And like I said, the Foo Fighters thing, it we kind of wanted to, and not that, you know, we felt that we weren't unique with the four piece, but we thought it would be even more, you know, with the
right.
with the whole attitude and the three guitars, man. Because I mean, I consider all three of us, you know, to be decent guitar players, and we play well with each other.
Right.
It took some time though to figure that out. Like, where are you
yeah.
gonna go?
What are you
gonna
playing?
Yes,
because
yeah.
I've noticed a lot of times it's like somebody's on the root note,
mm-hmm.
and then somebody will hop up and
yeah.
and go up.
We try to cover all the frequencies.
You've got
frequencies.
The melody, you've got the rhythm, and you've got like some
sprinkle lick
yeah,
or
something.
That's that kind of just adds, you know,
glitter.
A little ear candy.
Lots of glitter.
There you go. Lots of glam. Yeah, that was it was cool though, man. Because like he kind of came in and it never really felt awkward to me. It was just kind of like he was just trying to kind of figuring out where he fit at in
right.
the band.
I mean, Trevor's obviously the lead singer.
Sure, yeah.
But he's also a really good lead guitar player.
Yes.
So I don't think either of you were like, oh, I guess I'm not the lead guitar
yeah,
player.
Yeah, no, not at all, man. It was like,
it's like a complimentary
like,
thing,
yeah.
really.
I enjoy, man.
But you don't sing, right?
Not a bit.
That's what I thought.
Let me clear the air.
I remember the other night you did not have a vocal mic.
And I never will. People ask me, like, why don't you sing? And you know, Corbin actually sings some too, and he has a great lower register
right.
that on certain songs really feels that
it's
bottom
hard to
end.
Sing when you're bouncing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Drive, he sings on Drive.
Yeah.
That's if we give him a mic, you know, it just depends on what kind of mood we're in, how
just
late
sing
he
on
is.
The record.
Yeah, 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 it's fine, man. We know you can. Don't worry about it. Just beat the drums. But people ask me all the time, they're like, you know, where's your mic? Do you sing? I sing at home, you know, in the shower, driving down the road, but
yeah.
I don't sing live.
You sing through your instrument.
Yes, I enjoy playing guitar so much that I do not want to stand still
That's
in front
cool.
of a mic. But,
I
you
get
know,
that.
I can step back and be like, look, I've got three other guys here that
yeah.
can handle the... I'm not adding anything
yeah.
to it.
Shut up, leave
yeah,
me alone.
Yeah, I just want to play. Put me over here and let me do my thing.
Get away from me. Yeah. No pictures. No
yes. autographs. I don't really like singing, honestly. I mean, I obviously have a huge appreciation for good singers. It's just not really my forte, man.
Right.
I can...
Well, when I was talking to him the other day for his podcast, I was under the impression there was something released, but it's not been released.
Not released
You
yet.
Guys have put out a few songs.
Yes.
And so, again, Tommy Starr and Bratcher, locally speaking, have played these songs.
Yep.
Obviously, when you play a show at Tidballs or Spillway or something, that you all get on the radio and it's promoted and the song is played, and you know how that goes.
Sure, yeah.
So I've heard these two songs, I guess, for about, I don't know, what, a year?
Yeah.
Almost a year now?
I would say at least 6 to 8 months.
But you've been
like
in the studio.
Yes.
And even as of yesterday, I saw a social media post from Omni Sound in Nashville.
Oh, it was such a cool spot.
You're recording, obviously, at Omni as of now. Where else have you been working at?
Let's see. The very first album, Open Wide, that was done... Funny thing, it was done by my cousin Jordan, who was actually in 449.
Right.
He's got a MacBook and, you know, some recording stuff.
So that was a home recording kind of thing.
Yeah, that was recorded in bedrooms and basements and living rooms and wherever we could. It was kind of a mobile setup.
Right.
But as far as the new stuff that we've recorded, it's been in Louisville with a guy named Jordan Haynes.
Yes.
I know Spite the Fallen Guys. It's actually where we kind of got referred to him.
Right.
To Jordan. Excuse me, but... Yeah, we recorded. We did 6 songs with him, and just here this week we went down to Omni and we weren't recording per se at Omni. We were just doing some songwriting.
Oh, okay.
With a guy named Skid Mills.
That's cool.
Skid, man, it was the first time that we've ever written a song with anybody besides us 4 or 5.
So you weren't tracking down there?
No, we track.
Shit.
Yeah, we
here
track.
I'm selling this as you're recording in Nashville.
I need to shut my mouth. No, we tracked. It was just kind of for pre-production.
But still,
purposes.
Still kind of like demoing songs.
Yeah, absolutely. But
that's cool.
We were doing a co-write with him.
But you guys are really taking your time with this.
Mm-hmm.
And not necessarily taking your time with it for... certain reasons, but I guess just recording as you go.
Yeah,
but you don't know if you're going to put out an EP or a record.
Well, I'll tell you what I'll do.
We made the joke the other day as if this rate you could put out a double album as your first album.
No, I'll tell you what. I will go ahead and I can make this information public since I actually had a little meeting with the guys last night.
You don't have to date anything, but you can just, you know.
Oh, I don't care.
When this airs,
I'll give you the whole shebang. I'll give you the whole shebang because, like, I've kind of been wanting to announce and I don't see why we can't.
Yeah.
We're going to release a song called Hearts on Fire. We're going to be shooting a music video for it. We have a couple shows coming up with Buck Cherry, Lexington, and Nashville.
Right.
And we're going to be filming a music video over the course of those two shows, and we're going to drop that at the end of April. And that's going to be the first song released off of this EP.
Good, because this will air before that.
Yes, awesome.
So this should be timed.
This is
perfectly.
The world premiere. Yeah.
The weird thing about recording a podcast is
it's not live.
It's put out much later than it's recorded.
Yeah.
So you kind of have to, like, throw out future stuff.
Right.
But that is good timing, sir.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
so
the...
So that's what's happening on the horizon.
Yep, that's coming up. I would say, man, we're... You know, honestly, we have been taking our time with it because we really think the songs are really killer, and we really like them, and it's our best work to date. I think every band says that, but I know it's our best work to date, it's, you know, production-wise, of course.
Well, it's like Clayton said... even though it's not released, you can hear these songs live.
Oh, yeah.
And you're a live band. I mean, that's what you all do.
Yes.
You don't play a show every now and then. Mm-hmm. You are active.
Yeah.
And you're gaining an audience. You're doing the grassroots way of doing things, which is
hitting the road.
Rock and roll.
Yeah.
And that's the way it should be. Yeah. But let's say... Once the sessions and whatever is released is released, what is on the future for you guys?
Well, I will say that we have been working with a guy from an entertainment company. I guess I won't say the name yet, but he's actually came down here to Bowling Green to check us out. We did kind of like a private showcase for him.
Good.
And he's opened up a few doors for us. That's how we got to do the co-write thing down in Nashville with Skid Mills. He's kind of, you know, honestly, he's just kind of opening doors for us and being like, what's going to stick? Like, where's the best avenue for you guys to go, you know? Because, you know, it's a big world out there, man, and he's trying to figure out, you know, where are we going to go with you guys? But, you know, nothing's in contract or nothing like that. But we've been working with this guy. The company is based out of New York, and you know, we're hoping something really big comes from that. But we're taking every opportunity that we can along the way.
You're doing all the right,
sure,
moves,
yeah,
obviously,
yeah. You know,
you're being smart about it.
Yeah,
you're not just signing with anybody.
No, no, not at all.
Jumping on any
particular
band.
At all, man. No, we. I will say the Nashville show that we have coming up, I know there's a handful of people that are going to be coming out, you know, the music people, you know, and the industry folk. Yeah, yeah, the suit, yeah. They're going to be...
they still exist. Time.
Yeah, they're going to be coming out and checking us out in Nashville show. And you know, we'll go from there. We'll see what happens. But, you know, I don't really know what's on the horizon other than we're going to keep putting out music and playing.
Obviously, you've
and,
already had your To Hell and Back moment.
Yes.
So hopefully
yes.
from the ashes of that, and obviously with Clayton now in the band yeah. as a permanent member, which he's been for a
yeah,
while. But,
definitely.
You know, I think he's still, to guys like me that saw you guys as a four-piece for mm-hmm. so long, it's still kind of
sure.
odd to see
yeah.
that.
Yeah, it's new. It's not anything remotely new to us, but
right.
to some people, you know, haven't
well,
caught
it's
it
just,
yet.
You know
it
how nostalgia
sure.
is.
Yeah.
Before we wrap this up, though, and I appreciate you doing this today,
yeah.
Is there anything I've missed, so to speak? Anything you wanted to talk about?
Nah, man, I think we've covered it really well.
Well, one thing I do want to ask you,
yeah.
since this is a podcast based on local Bowling Green music scene,
mm-hmm.
who are you a fan of?
Oh, man.
And that can be past or present?
Sure. Definitely present, I'll definitely say the Josephines. Those guys are not only a great band, but they're really good buddies of mine.
Right.
And I'm not just saying this because he's actually standing in here, but Todd Hogan of
oh,
Despite
yeah.
the Fallen. I'm a fan of those guys. We've done some shows together.
Yeah, Todd Hogan and John Treadway are standing
yeah,
in here.
Yeah, it's just a good hangout. I tell you, another group of guys that I like is Black Gold, man. They're younger
yes.
kids, man.
I
really think he's got a great voice, and I'm anxious to see, you know, as they get older and grow and play more.
I know they're going to do something.
Yeah, man, I think they're super talented.
Vincent is the epitome of rock and roll.
Yeah, man. I remember...
To me, I mean, I can say this about a lot of people,
yeah.
but and no offense to, you know, Bew.
Yeah.
I always say his name wrong, but...
No. Yeah.
Vincent's like... rock and roll.
Yeah,
like he
oh, totally.
Looks like
he's got the vibe. He's got the vibe.
Totally
man.
Got it.
But
his voice, his guitar playing,
yes.
his songwriting ability.
Yeah.
It's great. And when you see him cover a song of a certain band, he absolutely puts
yeah.
his own spin on it.
Yeah, and that's the thing
so
I like too.
That stands out.
He's not trying to be somebody he's not, you know.
No,
he's got a very good
yeah.
voice. There's a lot of really great musicians around here in bands. You were talking about past Sixth Floor, of course, because,
of course.
Man, I remember being in high school and having a couple of their albums and riding around listening to them. I thought they were
That's
shit.
That's a common story, though,
yeah.
I think, for a lot of guys that are the generation behind
mm-hmm.
mine and John's generation.
Yeah.
You guys grew up
yeah.
with those records being 10 years old at that
sure,
point.
Sure, yeah.
So they really circulated around
yeah,
and
totally.
Trickled down into... hands of upcoming musicians,
yeah.
so of course that makes sense.
Another band that's in the present is great friends of these guys. They're called the Wolf Island Cosmonauts.
Yes.
We have those guys on a lot of our shows just because not only do we love their music, we love hanging out with them. They're great dudes.
Oh my God, they're great.
Talented. I love Robbie.
I think they are the underdog of this music.
Oh, totally,
scene.
Man. I think Robbie's a great front man, dude. I always enjoy watching how he interacts with
yeah.
the crowd. I tell you... past bands, I always loved Chase and Lane. I really enjoyed playing shows with them. I looked up to those guys a lot. Man, there's so many. You know, it's kind of funny because I could, on any old day that I could just sit and start talking about
yeah.
past bands, I've got a bazillion, but you ask me
well,
who,
that's the thing. I don't,
I'm like,
I've never asked anyone to do this and said, now show up with a list of everything
oh,
you want
I would have been
about.
So prepared, man. I would have had pages. But, dude, and honestly, man, just as a whole.
But you're just a fan. I mean, I see you out.
Yeah.
You know, you go out to see other bands, not just
yeah.
bands of friends. Like,
sure.
you actually go out.
As often as I can,
yeah.
man. As
you're
often as I can.
You're actually involved in the scene, and
totally.
I applaud you for that.
Yeah,
because
man.
Some people don't do that.
Sure. It's fun to me, man, because, like, you know, this kind of ties into what I was about to say, but I don't think people that... Well, some do. I know you would realize this, but, man, some people don't realize, like, how many talented musicians there are from the past and present.
Yeah.
They're from this area. You know, that still are here. And, like, it's crazy how many good musicians, how many good bands have come through, around.
The point of Russell starting this was to capture these stories.
Yeah.
And to capture not only people like you that are active today, but to get stories of guys that are older and were really going, you know, 20, 30 years ago, you know. And I think Russell and Tommy have done a really good job of that.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping to continue that.
I didn't want to have to beg, but when I messaged the other day, I was like, please, I want
to
do this.
No, and that's the thing. See, I messaged, Russell talked to me, and then he passed it on to Tommy, and I was Tommy's first guest. And so it kind of, it's just that trickle effect of when the one host kind of has his plate full.
Sure.
And then passes the other's names on to this guy. Right. When I was handed the torch for this, your name was one of, like, many.
Yeah.
Because
there's so many, man.
For so long,
yeah, there's so many people that...
There was a lot of people he didn't get to that he wanted to get to, you know? So, in a way, I'm kind of carrying...
I love it.
Yeah, the banner.
I think it's so awesome because, you know, like you said, there's many stories to be told. And when I listen into this sound, you know, not only am I obviously here, but I listen to it.
It's like you were saying, though, about this music scene is that circular connection.
Yeah.
It's not really a family tree, but it's traceable.
Oh, absolutely.
Everyone can go, you know, you can get a group of guys and a variety of different bands that can all point back to this band.
There's
this
a common thread, for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's neat, man. You know,
well, it's cool is that you guys are going to be a part of that 30 years from now.
Yeah, man, I hope so. That's the plan.
So hopefully kids grow up listening to Kiss Kiss Bang like you grew up listening to Sixth Floor.
Yeah, dude.
And I know John King grew up listening to some stuff from around here, I think. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah. No, I guarantee
you. But like him and, you know, Wade England and all those guys, they'll bring up Super Fuzz. And
oh, yeah, dude.
I like to talk about Government Cheese. That was a big deal for me.
Sure.
So, yeah, it's a cool music scene.
Yeah, it is,
and
man.
You, sir, are a part of it.
Yes, I'm so glad. And thank you for having me on here. I've had an absolute blast talking about this.
Well, it was important to capture your
How long have we been
story?
Talking for?
It's an hour 5.
Oh, nice.
Which is average.
Yeah, that's great. That's killer, man.
You're an average man.
I'm just an average man. Average man.
Malcolm, I appreciate you doing this.
Man.
And keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you having me.